Well, grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, today is Christmas in July, and really excited about this text because it says a lot about who Jesus Christ truly is, because there's a lot of people nowadays that really don't believe anymore of who He is and what He's done. So we want to kind of go through this text because it's an awesome text. And so the theme for today is Jesus is the reason for any season. You know, we talk about Jesus being the reason of the season, Christmas and so forth, and Christmas in July kind of throws it off kilter a little bit, but Jesus is the reason for any season of the year, any season of your life. I can't wait, I'm just so excited about having a grandson to be born here in about a month, and saw Crystal last night. She's as skinny as a rail except for this basketball. It comes out, and I did a blessing. Ryden Quinn did a blessing on my future grandson. We prayed for him as well as everybody else and my folks who are ill and my daughter who's ill, and just trusting God to be with us in all the seasons of life, a baby about to be born, my folks on the other end of life, and through it all from beginning to end, who's with us? Emmanuel, God with us, right? He is the one who's always with us in the good times and the bad, all seasons of life, whether it's 107 or 7 below. He is still there. He is King and He is Lord. Well, having said that, this text just talks about how important Jesus Christ really is, and I wanted to read it now from the Message, which is a paraphrase. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and we see God's original purpose in everything He created. We see an exact image of who God is in Jesus Christ. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there, Jesus, before any of it came into existence, and He holds it all together, all the atoms, everything, right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and leads it and holds it together like a head does a body. He is supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everyone, everything. So spacious is He, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Jesus Christ without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things and animals, atoms, everything, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what He does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving Himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you and bought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy, in His presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in the bond of trust, constantly tuned into the Message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message. There is no other gospel, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this good news of the gospel. And this is the word of our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God is right. And so this text is saying that there's no one like Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Well, He's God and man, right? Emmanuel. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Christ is born. He was born as a baby. But was He just a baby? No. Our Savior and God. God and man together. The mystery of all mysteries, right? Hidden from the philosophers and all the wise people and smart people, but to the poor and the lowly and the humble, when they looked in that manger, when the shepherds came, when later the wise men came, who were educated, they knew who they're looking at. Do you know who you're looking at when you look at Jesus? Do you really know Him? Do you really know Him? Yesterday, we had a great time in the jail, Sandy and I, until she got sick, which scared me half to death. When Sandy got sick, and here I am, I go, oh no. And we're locked in. And that was scary, but God got us through, right, Sandy? But anyway, we couldn't get the worship DVD to work at all. And you know how much I love worship. I go, great. So we watched the Gospel of John. We watched 9 chapters of the Gospel of John continuously, and it was like a woven theme, the story of Jesus. 9 out of the 21 chapters of John, we saw one sitting, and the guys were on the edge of their seats the whole time, weren't they, Sandy? It was amazing. And it kind of reminded me on this message who Jesus is and how absolutely wonderful He is, how awesome He is, how great He is, how loving and merciful and kind and powerful and just, how He's all that. We can exaggerate other people. We can talk about people and kind of go too far, you know, with praise, lavish praise. But can you exaggerate how important Jesus is? Can you say too much about Jesus? Absolutely not. And it will take eternity for us and the angels to give Him, to just talk about who He is. In fact, the other Wednesday in the Bible class we had, we read from Revelation 7. And it was very, very powerful to be reminded what we'll be doing in heaven. And it says this, "After this, I, John, looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, nation, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They all fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and power and might be to our God forever and ever and ever. Amen.'" And it talks about how the whole company of heaven, everybody, their angels, believers, were worshiping God with a loud voice. And they said, "Therefore, they are before the throne, and these people serve Him day and night with the angels. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them." And you think, well, big deal. Well, if you live in the desert and you don't have shelter, a tent's pretty important. You've got to have shelter, right? And Jesus is our shelter. We've got a kid in our touchstone of the Christian boy who's so mentally disturbed he wants to kill his mother and himself. And then he feels like he's going to hell after he reflects on it because he's so disturbed. And we're praying, and I had a word from God about this family. I says, they need a storm shelter. They need a storm shelter, a shelter in the storm. So I got him a youth Bible with all the neon colors and everything, and the kid loves it. So I'm praying that that Word of God will protect his mind and his heart. And God will be his shelter from the storm and from the heat and the blast. But anyway, it says, "The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eye." You got the Lamb here. Think of that nursery rhyme, "Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow." Mary had a little lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus, whose perfection was white as snow. Right? And He is our Savior. Christ is born. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. He is the reason for every season in our life. Amen? And people are finding that out, even Muslims. There is an amazing occurrence going on now where Jesus is appearing in dreams and visions to Muslims all over the place in the Middle East. And here's just one story. This lady says, "I was overweight, I felt ugly, I felt stupid, and then it happened. I saw Jesus. I'd never met Him before. I was a Muslim. Jesus walked with me alongside a lake, and He told me how much He loves me." The woman in black told her the details of a vivid dream she'd had the night before their meeting. "I think my husband loved me at one time, but that love I felt in my dream, his love, was different than anything I've ever experienced. I've never felt so much peace in my heart. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want him to leave. I asked this Jesus, 'Why are you visiting me, a poor Muslim mother with 8 children?' And all He said was, 'I love you. I love you. I have given everything for you. I died for you.' The din of the market faded from her consciousness, and this person heard only this woman telling her otherworldly encounter with Jesus Christ. As he turned to leave, the last thing Jesus said was, 'Ask my friend tomorrow about me. He will tell you all you need to know in order to understand why I visited you.' 'But Jesus, who's your friend?' I pleaded in my dream. 'Why, here's my friend right now,' Jesus pointed behind us, and he was walking with us the whole time we've been together." And then it was that this friend told that woman about the Jesus who was standing there by the lake. Jesus is showing up to all kinds of people and showing how much He loves them. Sandy and I, we felt that yesterday, that Jesus was showing his love to the people in the jail, to people who feel like they don't deserve another chance, and yet God gives them another chance, and he gives us another chance. Amen?
Amen.
And so this Jesus is the one who was there in creation, who created everything, who was there from the beginning, and everything was made for him. It's like God the Father says, watch this, son. Boom, let there be. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. How about that, son? And the Trinity talks about, let us make man our image. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit participated in our creation with the angels. And so Jesus was there. He holds everything together. He's the head of the church. He's the head of all creation. He's the head of the universe. And then it talks about how absolutely wonderful Jesus Christ is. Now, we've had some sports, even for those of you not sports fans, might have noticed a little bit of hubbub about one particular basketball player who decided to leave Miami, right? King James going to Cleveland, Ohio, back home. But there is a pull, there is an attraction for people to go back home and finish what they didn't do, and when they grow up, they realize there's no place like home. There's no place like home, right? And so what was interesting is that what I saw was kind of interesting. I saw these different shirts about LeBron. I thought I was reading Christian shirts. It said, one said, forgiven. Another one said, the kingdom is restored. I go, wait a minute here. Another one said, the king is returning. Another one said, forgiveness, he's back. I thought, that's what we talk about. But we don't talk about some basketball player. And I took my son Jeremy to watch King James play. And we paid a little bit of money to see him. And it was pretty neat because I never saw Michael Jordan play. And I wanted to be sure that I saw LeBron James with my son. It was pretty cool. But come on. It wasn't like I'd go on and on and on about him and wouldn't go, and certainly not go crazy because he's going to Cleveland. Even if he came to Phoenix, it'd be interesting. But I'm not going to fall down and worship him. He's not going to change my life, right? But there is one king who does change our life, who is worthy of all praise, who makes everything different, as Daryl talked about, when he really came face to face with Jesus, as Bruce came literally face to face with his Jesus Christ. Can you say too much good about him, Bruce? He's no king of Cleveland. He's the king of the universe, right? King of everything. And he is a king of, I know, Phoenix, and of every city, every continent, every planet, every galaxy. He is Lord over all and in all. He's above all, right? He's the king of every heart. Yes, the king of our hearts. There was a song I just heard this morning about he, the king of our hearts. Now, it's interesting how I listened to a sermon and I wrote it down word for word. I tried to anyway. I heard it about 6 times. I do. It's kind of sloppy though. But I cannot do justice to this African-American preacher named, his name was Samuel Shadrach Lockridge, and he has this tremendous sermon of who Jesus Christ is, and I'm going to read it. I can't do it like him, but put my spin on it, but these are his words from a sermon he wrote. The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. The Bible says, my king is the king of Israel. The Bible says, my king is the king of righteousness. My king is the king of all the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king, and I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No one can measure. No one can define him. He's limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortality with gracefulness. He's imperially powerful. He's completely always merciful. And I wonder, do you know my king? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled, unprecedented. He's the only one who's qualified to be the all-sufficient Savior. And I wonder, do you know my King? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He helps the alcoholic. He helps the drug addict, the codependent. And I wonder, do you know him, my king? He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He loves the poor. He highly regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. And I wonder, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my king? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. And I wonder, do you know him? Do you know my king? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love is unchanging. His word is eternal. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. And you can't get him out of your mind. And you can't live without him. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. And death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't contain him. That's my king. And I wonder, do you know him? Hallelujah. That's the one who was born for you. That's Christ the Lord. He's incomparable, right? Indescribable. And we say amen with our clapping because our hearts are in tune and symphony with these words from this African-American preacher who just died a few years ago. And all we say is yay and amen. That's who he is. So when we worship him today, we can't get too caught up in it. There is a sense when you really acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his glory is so weighty that we are called like the shepherds, like the wise men, to bow down. Oh, come, let us kneel and bow down before the Lord our Maker, for he is God, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He is absolutely incredible. Just think of all that he's done for us and is still doing for us over and over. And does he say, oh, you've blown it. That's enough. No more love for you. No more love for you. No. He says, keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back, and there's more and more and more. There was an Australian surfer dude who was living for the world, living for the devil, and he had a very godly mother that prayed for him every day and every night for his salvation. And he turned his back on his mom, and he turned his back on his God, and was living the wild life until he was stung by a jellyfish that caused him in the ambulance to hear the words that we don't know if he's going to make it. And right before he flatlined, he cried out to Jesus to save his sin-filled soul. And then he said he got out of his body, he left his body, and he saw this glorious light, he saw Jesus. And he said that as he saw Jesus, he was getting closer to Jesus. And I just heard him repeat this last week on the 700 Club, and we watched the video years ago in the adult study room. He said as he came to Jesus, wave after wave of love knocked this guy over. He would see Jesus and he said this comfort and this love would come at him like waves. And it just cleansed him and he felt this love like he never felt before. It would go right through him. And he saw Jesus look at him eye to eye with this compassion and love he'd never felt before with him. And he lived a horrible life. And he was consumed by this love. He was drawn to this love. And he said it was just indescribable, wave after wave of love and mercy. And then Jesus said, as he reached out, he said, do you want to stay here? And he said, yeah, yes, yes. He thought of his mother. He thought, if he goes to heaven now and stays in heaven, his mother will never know he turned to Christ. And she would live in that torment of not knowing if he was in heaven or hell. And she probably would have might have assumed the worst. So he said, no, I've got to go back for my mama. So we went back. And Jesus said, well, We'll be here waiting for you. And so he went back into his body. The doctors were amazed that he was back. And later on, he told his mother, and now he tells millions of people his story, to atheists, to scoffers, to skeptics, of his experience that cannot be denied. And his life, when he tells the story, this has been years ago now, right? He still weeps. He can't get through the story without weeping because of it. He remembers that indescribable face, that indescribable loving person of Jesus Christ. It changed him completely. That's the same Jesus. Whether we have an experience like Bruce or not, that's the same Jesus we worship, right? Who's there for us. That's why we celebrate today that he is born, he is risen, he's ascended on high. But the text goes on our text today, and it talks about a couple more things that we need to address. He is absolutely incredible. There's no one like Jesus, and he offers us this free gift of eternal life, but he calls us to remain firm in him. So I wanted to read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say years ago, right? Because it says this, one, and he talks about whether we're reconciled to him, things in heaven and earth through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. It's all about the cross. It's all about the cross of Jesus. That's where we come to God, through Jesus. And he says, once, in verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. When the devil tried to condemn you, and Daryl read that, there's no condemnation. You're free from accusation. You're free from all your sins in Jesus. When God sees you through the filter of Jesus' blood, he sees you totally white, totally perfect, totally pure, if you stay close to Jesus. And Paul says that. If you continue your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So there's a if there. We have to continue in the faith established and firm. How firm is your faith? How established are you in Jesus? Are you closer to him than before? Is your faith stronger than before? And if not, well, you're in the right place for a faith transfusion. You're in the right place to receive from Jesus Christ. And maybe right now or maybe later, you just want to go off in a corner and think about this and put your head down and just pray, be rededicated to Jesus Christ, to mourn your sins, to mourn maybe and tell God you're sorry for drifting away from him, or thank and praise him on your knees. But this is the time, this is ground zero, where God wants to show himself in the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. So if you're able, why don't we kneel now? And if you're not, that's fine. It's more the attitude of our hearts than the posture of our bodies as we come before our Lord and we pray to him. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, we love and we praise you. We thank you for today. We thank you that for to us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the angel said to the shepherds, for I give you good news of great joy which will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Lord, we know that you're our Savior. Wash us from all of our sins. Remove all the accusation and condemnation and negative self-talk we have about ourselves and what the devil puts in our head, all the negative thoughts. We come before you to cleanse us of our sins, to forgive us, but also to be the Lord of our lives. We want to come back to you, Jesus. No matter how far we've strayed, you are our good shepherd, and you always bring us back to into your heart. Help us to be closer to you, God. Holy Spirit, come right now. And as Daryl said, we cannot try to be a good Christian or to be good on our own power. We will fail miserably. So, Lord, we surrender it all to you now. And we ask that you, Holy Spirit, take over, that you lead us to Jesus, and that, Jesus, you be so real to us that we experience your presence constantly, that we live in your presence, and that wherever we go, your glory goes and your light goes, shining in the darkness. And if our souls get darkened and our hearts get shattered, restore our broken hearts right now, Lord. Heal us, restore us, Lord, and remind us that until we see you in heaven's glory, you will never leave us. That you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, in your mercy,